step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله We welcome the viewers of Madani Channel to another episode of the Life Chronology of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Alhamdulillah, in this silsila, in these programs, we discuss the timeline of the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from his blessed birth all the way to his blessed wafat in Madinatul Munawwarah Allah Azza wa Jalla. For those who have followed this program thus far, Mubarak, Alhamdulillah, you may continue adding to your knowledge. And for those for whom today is the first program, then please do enjoy this, inshallah. Enjoy learning of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do go to the social media pages as well of Dawat Islami and follow up from the very beginning of the timeline of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that you too can be on par regarding the blessed seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, today we have a wonderful, beautiful topic. But before we get into today's topic, let us mention some of the benefits of reciting salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who recites salawat 50 times on me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, what a beautiful benefit, what a great benefit we receive for reciting salawat upon the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and if you haven't been doing that yet, then today you can make a start, inshallah. Make niyyah to recite at least 50 times salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily. And once you get the taste of that, you're just going to want to recite more and more salawat, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And today's topic of discussion is the migration of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his blessed companions. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Today we're going to talk about the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which took place from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah. We're going to go into fine details, inshallah Azza wa Jal, of what took place just before the hijrah itself, the migration itself, and the first year within Madinatul Munawwarah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Now, what a great task this is to discuss such beautiful subject matter, alhamdulillah. Indeed, we have some wonderful assistance regarding this topic from our two honorable guests on my right, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib. Marhaban bika, Mawlana Sahib.
Jazakallah, Sayyidi.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for being with us today, alhamdulillah. And on my left, we have Mawlana Suhail Madani Sahib. Marhaban bika.
Jazakallah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairan for joining us and joining our viewers on Madani Channel, and importantly, Jazakallah to every one of you for joining this wonderful silsila and this wonderful episode. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we discussed in our previous episode as well, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living in Makkatul Mukarramah. Makkatul Mukarramah is the place of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one of the beauties of Makkatul Mukarramah, that it is the place of the birth of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Makkatul Mukarramah to close to 53 years of his blessed life. Wow! 53 years of the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that noble city, that honorable city of Makkatul Mukarramah. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And then later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to migrate to a place called Madinatul Munawwarah. But before it was called Madinatul Munawwarah, the place was called Yathrib. Yathrib was a place of sickness, it was a place of sadness. However, you know that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his blessed attention to any place, then even places of sickness become places of cure, subhanallah azza wa jal. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going towards Madinatul Munawwarah changed even the name of Madinatul Munawwarah, changed the name Yathrib to the name Madinatul Munawwarah, the enlightened city, Madinatul Nabi, the city of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, from Yathrib previously being known to being sickness, Now even the sand of that blessed city became khaki shifa. It became a means of cure. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not wipe the sand of Madinatul Munawwara off his blessed face. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage the ashab not to do so, saying that in the sand of Madinatul Munawwara there is shifa, there is cure. This shows, subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being there has brought shifa. And that heart that has connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sicknesses also come out of that heart and shifa enters that heart. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Now this blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara had some tribes called the Aus and the Khazraj. They, along with others, would also come from Madinatul Munawwara and from other cities throughout the world to the Kaaba Sharif on the occasion of Hajj. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use that occasion of Hajj as an opportunity to do da'wah, because so many tribes are coming there. Thus, the people of Medina Sharif would also come to Makkatul Mukarrama on the occasion of Hajj, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do da'wah to them as well. Mawlana Sahib, can you please share with us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did da'wah among them, and what was the response of the Aus and the Khazraj, the people of Madinatul Munawwara, to the beautiful da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Huzur, the Aus and the Khazraj tribe of Medina, that way in Madinah Munawwara, they also would come where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come at the time of Hajj. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the subhanallah to, you know, invite people to Islam. Because mashallah, you know, lots of people were there, different tribes were there. Right. So it was a great opportunity, subhanAllah, to give the da'wah of Islam. So the first year when this started, basically that was the 11th year after the proclamation of Nubuwwah, six people in Aqaba from the tribe of Khazraj accepted Islam, subhanAllah. And then following that, subhanAllah, on the 12th year after the proclamation of Nubuwwah, subhanallah, the 12th year, and 12 people accepted Islam in Mina, subhanallah, Azza wa Jal, in Aqaba. And subhanallah, this is the shan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. You know, that just by his alfaz or by his looks, people would accept Islam. On the 13th year, after the proclamation of Nubuwwah, subhanallah, Azza wa Jal, approximately 72 people accepted Islam.
Subhanallah.
And they invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Madinah Sharif, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, subhanallah, you know, they love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, that no harm should come to him. They said that you should protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your lives. Allahu Akbar.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Most definitely, the family of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they didn't want any harm to reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Bay'ah Aqaba is a historical event in the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the people of Madinatul Munawwara were now gradually becoming more and more affiliated with Islam. More and more affiliated with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because year in and year out, a few more and a few more and more were accepting Islam, alhamdulillah. So Islam was now spreading to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, alhamdulillah. Thus, as Mawlana Sahib mentioned, now the people of Madinatul Munawwara are calling Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that now please come and honor us. Please come to Madinatul Munawwara. Please let us be your hosts in Madinatul Munawwara. Alhamdulillah. And the statement of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, wow, that he radiallahu ta'ala did not want any harm to reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this point, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala hadn't yet come into the fold of Islam, but he had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his blessed nephew, alhamdulillah. But soon the time was to come that he too was to come into the beautiful folds of Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. In the 13th year after I'lan al-Nabuwa, after the proclamation of Nabuwa, when so many from the Aus and Khazraj had accepted Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had elected 12 leaders from amongst the people of Madinatul Munawwara as rulers or as leaders among the people of Madinatul Munawwara. So we had 9 from the Khazraj and 3 from the Aus tribe. And they were to rule over the people of Madinatul Munawwara. They were to be leaders in Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah, so Islam was spreading. And of course, the Quraysh of Makkah did not like this. And now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to give the command to the companions that now you may begin migration. So companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have living under so much of difficulty in Makkatul Mukarrama, being tortured by the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama. Now they had the escape where they could move to Madinatul Munawwara and practice Islam freely, practice Islam openly, subhanallah azza wa jal. But most definitely the Quraysh did not like this. They did not like this, and again they began to plot and plan against the Muslims, and not wanting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Muslims to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. And Mawlana Sahib, indeed, they started to plot and they started to plan in their mischievous ways how they could stop Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can Mawlana Sahib please share with us what was their mindset, their idea regarding stopping Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the blessed migration? And the people of Makkatul Mukarrama, the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama, started to plot and plan against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrating to Madinah Munawwara. Indeed, they did not want that. And we're going to get into the matter of their plots, their plans, their ideas and their concepts of how they wanted to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from migrating to Madinah Munawwara, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully planned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to reach Madinah Munawwara. But before we get into that detail, inshallah azza wa jal, let's listen to this beautiful kalam in praise of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rejuvenate our spirits and increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just after the kalam, inshallah, we are going to discuss the today's subject matter regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed migration, how the Quraysh tried to stop it, but how Allah azza wa jal made the migration happen so beautifully. Enjoy this kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Habibi jadal hasanain ya Rasulallah. Habibi jadal hasanain ya Rasulallah. Char so ujala ujala, char so ujala ujala, Mustafa ke jhoome se, Mustafa ke jhoome se, Sarkar ki aamad marhaba, Rasool ki aamad marhaba, Sardar ki aamad marhaba, Acche ki aamad marhaba, Salar ki aamad marhaba, Sacche ki aamad marhaba, Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba, Habibi ahlan wa sahlan marhaba, Habibi khushiyon bare din raat hai, Milad ke lamhat hai, khushiyon bare din raat hai, Milad ke lamhat hai, dil ke ajab jazbaat hai, dil ke ajab jazbaat hai, Milad ke lamhat hai, Milad ke lamhat hai. Marhaba habibi jaddal hasan habibi ya rasul allah, habibi jaddal hasan habibi ya rasul allah, sayyidi ya mustafa, sayyidi ya mustafa, marhaba 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 marhaba, ishq e nabi ka parcham liye, zikr e nabi ke waaste, ishq e nabi ka parcham liye, zikr e nabi ke waaste, qudsi bhi mere saath hai, qudsi bhi mere saath hai, milad ke lamhat hai, milad ke marhaba habibi jaddal hasan habibi ya rasul allah, habibi jaddal hasan habibi ya rasul allah, char so ujala ujala, char so ujala ujala, Mustafa ke jhoome se, Mustafa ke jhoome se, jalwa-numa sarkaar hai, rahmat bhare aasaar hai, jalwa-numa sarkaar hai, rahmat bhare aasaar hai, mere liye
سوغات ہے میرے لیے سوغات ہے میلاد کے لمحات ہے میلاد کے
حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا 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 مرحبا
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
رسول کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
اچھے کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
سچے کی آمد
مرحبا
گمراہیوں سے دور کیا تاریکیوں کو نور کیا گمراہیوں سے دور کیا تاریکیوں کو نور کیا آقا کے احسانات ہے آقا کے احسانات ہے میلاد کے لمحات ہے
میلاد کے حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا 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 مرحبا
جلوہ دکھایا آپ نے جگ جگ مجایا آپ نے جلوہ دکھایا آپ نے جگ جگ مجایا آپ نے کہ نوشائے بارات ہے کہ نوشائے بارات ہے میلاد کے لمحات ہے
میلاد کے حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ چار سو اجالا اجالا مصطفیٰ کے جھرنے سے مصطفیٰ کے جھرنے سے
سرکار کی میٹھی نظر مجھ پر اجاگر پڑ گئی سرکار کی میٹھی نظر مجھ پر اجاگر پڑ گئی بدلے ہوئے حالات ہیں بدلے ہوئے حالات ہیں میلاد کے لمحات ہیں
میلاد کے حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ حبیبی جد الحسن یا رسول اللہ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ سیدی یا مصطفیٰ مرحبا 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 مرحبا
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
رسول کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
اچھے کی آمد
مرحبا
سالار کی آمد
مرحبا
سچے کی آمد
مرحبا
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved of Allah, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time you listen to the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how wonderful you feel. You feel the serenity descend upon you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is the love that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we must be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that honorable love that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed in our hearts for His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah. Our discussion before the kalam was regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having given the command, the general command to the ashab that they should now migrate from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah. Because the Quraysh had caused so much difficulty to the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarramah. They would not allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the ashab to be able to practice Islam freely and openly. They would place so much of difficulty loyalty upon the Ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it became increasingly difficult for the Ashab to be able to live in their beloved city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And thus Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the general instruction to the Ashab that now you must migrate to Madinah al-Munawwara. And it became well known amongst the Quraysh as well that perhaps soon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and move towards Madinah al-Munawwara. Of course, the Quraysh didn't want that. They didn't want the spread of Islam. They were fearful of others accepting Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed companions, along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all becoming so strong, so successful, and taking over the peninsula such that the Quraysh would fall below them. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. And so the Quraysh had tried to plot and plan against the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against his blessed migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara. Mawlana Sahib, if Mawlana Sahib can please give us some insight into how the Quraysh tried to plot against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and more so against the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how Allah azza wa jal had made the beautiful hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one of success.
Sayyidi, these heartless people, when they were persecuting the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they couldn't bear the sight of him, now he wants to leave because of this oppression, so he could practice his beautiful deen of Islam in peace. Yes. And everyone has the right to live freely in peace. It's a free world. Alhamdulillah. And when he wanted that, to migrate from there to Madinah Munawwara, they didn't like the idea as well. So Allah knows what they were after. But Sayyidi, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, and this migration happened in secrecy.
Right.
Except one Sahabi. Okay. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he embraced Islam, said, I'm not going to do it in secret. If you're doing good, subhanAllah, do it by all means. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not on the truth? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, why not? We are. So that, then why do we hide and pray?
Subhanallah.
And same thing, when it came to the migration, everyone migrated secretly. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu informed everyone, here I am migrating, stop me if you can. Subhanallah. And this great lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he migrated openly. Subhanallah. And the Quraysh and the Kuffar, they wouldn't dare to oppose him.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, when it came finally the time for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to migrate, he was actually waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come and to give him the permission to migrate. And he didn't stay behind alone. He had his friend, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his, mashallah, his son-in-law, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he kept them behind, he said. And then one day, when these people, the kuffar of Makkah, they somehow got to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is planning to migrate from Makkah to Medina. And that set them on fire. And these guys, they had a meeting in the assembly house, which is called Darun Nadwa. And every dignitary of Quraysh had to be present there. It was mandatory for all Ansari, all the think tank, the leaders, the tribe chiefs, all of them, all the dignitaries, they partook in this meeting. And just before the meeting could begin, there was an elderly person who came with a blanket on his body. And they asked him, who are you? He said, I am Sheikh from Najd, and I've come to give you my advice. And this was Iblis Mal'oon, Allahu Akbar. And the meeting began. There was Abu Jahl there, there was Utbah there, there was Umayyah bin Khalaf, the greatest enemies of Islam. They were all were there. And finally, when the meeting began, one of them stood up. He suggested an evil plot. He said, why don't we imprison Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this way, we can stop him from spreading the kalima of Islam, the message of Islam, and we can all live in peace. Iblis stood up, the Shaykh from Najd. He said, this idea doesn't have any substance.
Right.
I oppose this idea. You know what is going to happen if you were to imprison him? He said, yes, we will imprison him and give him food, etc., through a hole. We'll feed him like that. And then Iblis said, no, this is not a good idea. Why? Because if you imprison him, his followers are such. Subhanallah. That they will free him at any cost, even at the cost of their own lives. Subhanallah. Even Iblis knows the devotion of Sahaba to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So they said, then what do we do? Another person stood up. He said that we should exile him out of Makkah. Iblis said, this is not a good idea. He said, we can exile him out of Makkah, and then the Quran that he recites now, we no longer have to listen to his Quran recitation, and nobody will embrace Islam by the recitation of the Holy Quran. So he can go elsewhere, you know, recite the Holy Quran, whatever he wants to do. He said, no, this is not a good idea. You know what was going to happen? He's going to go to other tribes. Mm-hmm. He's going to recite the Holy Quran, the message of Allah. And it will hit home to all of them, subhanAllah, because this is the kalam of Allah. So shaitan, although he is opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he knows the greatness of the Holy Quran, the impact of the kalam of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And he is actually acknowledging it. He says, no. Then what's going to happen after that? All the tribes that will follow him, he will form an army and attack. So this is not a good idea. And all eyes were on one person after that, saying, what do you have to say, Abul Hikam? And what is the meaning of Abul Hikam? The father of wisdom, the one who possesses wisdom.
Right.
And this person in Islam, we know him as Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance, the one who possesses ignorance. Allahu Akbar. He harbored hatred against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For that, he is the father of all the ignorant people. Allahu Akbar. And he is the greatest enemy of Islam. Yes. Such that Fir'aun, when he was dying, just before he could die, he was on the verge of reverting. He was on the verge of making a U-turn. And he, at that time, he wanted to say that, I believe in the Rabb of Musa. Subhanallah. And this enemy of Allah, when he was dying, somebody asked, how's your enmity with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now that you are dying? It is even growing more. Allahu Akbar. So this is the enemy. Compare Fir'aun to this enemy. Allahu Akbar. And this is how much malice and hatred he had harbored against the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he stood up. He said, my suggestion is that we should all pick one person from each tribe and all of us draw our swords, and then we go and attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and assassinate him. And what's going to happen after that? Let's say, for example, Banu Hashim, they want to take revenge for this murder. Obviously, one tribe can't fight against so many tribes at the same time. So they will have to accept the blood money that we're going to give, you know, as a compensation for the murder. And then as soon as Iblis heard this idea, he said, this is the opinion. He liked this idea, this bloody idea. And then to execute this idea, they now went out and started preparing for this attack. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he had informed him of their mischief, and he said that the command is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shouldn't sleep in his bed tonight. Allahu Akbar. And he wants to save his Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, Sayyidi, you know, how no matter how hard the enemies can try, Shair has very beautifully said, you know, Fanus, Fanus in Urdu is a thin membrane around a candle through which the light can still shine through, but the wind can't get in.
Wow.
So the shayar says, Fanus ban ke jiski hifazat hawa kare, wo shama kya bujhe jise roshan khuda kare.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who can harm the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal had protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal had informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the evil plots of the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah, that they wanted to assassinate the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still to spread the beautiful deen of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal preserved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling Huzur Ekam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on this night, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to sleep in his blessed bed. This was the time of Hijrah. This was the time to leave the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarrama and head towards the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, the city of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had those two special companions having remained behind. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyidina Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that was still in Makkatul Mukarramah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, and informed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that I make hijrah, that now I migrate from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an had been waiting for this.
Subhanallah.
He had been waiting that now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to make hijrah and I am going to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hijrah. So Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I please be your companion on this journey of hijrah? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had accepted his bosom friend Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala as his companion even on the hijrah as well. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had kept two camels preparing for the hijrah, feeding them from 4 months before.
Allah.
So that they would be healthy and they would do the hijrah with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala offered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of them do you want? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his camel, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted that I will pay for my camel. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala did not want to accept any recompense for it, but he radiallahu ta'ala, after the insistence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reluctantly he accepted. And he got that wealth from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hired Abdullah bin Urayqaq, who was an expert in tracking the marks of people and the marks of animals that have passed through a land. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him that in 3 days' time, you are to bring these camels to the cave of Thawr, to Ghare Thawr. And thus, Abdullah bin Urayqaq had knew his duty to bring those camels to Ghare Thawr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had then quietly left the land of Makkah al-Mukarramah. However, what a task this was and how difficult it was upon the beloved of Allah. The land of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the land of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the land of the Kaaba, the land of Hajr Aswad, the land of Maqam Ibrahim, the land Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw throughout his blessed life, the beloved land to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, addressing Makkah al-Mukarramah that, O Makkah al-Mukarramah, O blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, I love you more than any other city in the world. But my people have driven me out of the city and thus I must leave. And in this state, with the heavy heart of leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah towards the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. However, we discussed two of the blessed companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were in Makkah al-Mukarramah, who did not yet make hijrah. And one we just discussed now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, migrating with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about the second, Sayyidina Ali? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had also remained behind in the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah, Mawlana Sahib, can you please share with us regarding Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, still staying in Makkatul Mukarramah, and later on only, or at which stage did he migrate to Madinatul Munawwara?
Allahu Akbar. Hudud, actually when Hudud sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, it came to Jibreel alayhi salam to migrate, subhanallah. And then Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was his last night at his house, Allahu Akbar. And surrounded by enemies and the kuffar of Makkah, he left behind Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and told him to return all the belongings of the kuffar. Now you may think, why return the belongings of the kuffar? But though they hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were his enemies. But they still gave their belongings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep for them. Allahu Akbar. And he then gave Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala his green shawl. Allahu Akbar. He said, cover yourself with the shawl, you know, as protection. Allahu Akbar. And thereafter, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left for his migration. But on his way out, he had some sand in his hand. And what did he do with the sand, Allahu Akbar? He exited his house whilst, you know, reciting initial ayat of Surah Yasin Sharif. And there he placed the sand on the heads of the kuffar.
Subhanallah.
Now this incident was such that the kuffar could not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uh-huh. They could not see him migrating, Allahu Akbar. And as Rasulullah is migrating, then obviously later on, they found out about, you know, Rasulullah placing the sand on their heads, but they never believed it. Until they saw for themselves, they placed their hands on their heads and they found the sand, Allahu Akbar. They knew what this person is saying. Mm-hmm. But they were shocked at how did this happen and they did not see anything, Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, as they were on this journey, remember that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, first in everything, subhanallah. Subhanallah. That is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He noticed that, you know, the footprints of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a distance away from him. And this was due to Rasulullah sallam's blessed and mubarak feet being injured. Allahu Akbar. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala noticed this, he said to Rasulullah that, let me carry you. So he carried Rasulullah on his shoulders, Allahu Akbar. So they stopped at a cave. And this cave is known as Ghar al-Thawr. Despite all these difficulties, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu still carried Rasulullah on his blessed and mubarak shoulders. And there were lots of difficulties because this was a hostile ground. You know, the ground was very rough with rocks and very thorny, if I may say so. So this journey continued until Ghar al-Thawr, you know, where they stopped for rest.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Wow, what amazing and brilliant planning of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was given as wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to leave Makkatul Mukarramah and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was to rest in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully explained that. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was then to distribute, to give back the belongings of the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah to the kuffar who had left it for safekeeping with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew, even though they did not accept the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew that he is al-Amin, that he is the trustworthy one, that we are, if we are to leave our belongings and valuables with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is safest with the most trustable person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving his blessed home, subhanallah, placing dust or sand upon them, reciting ayat from the Holy Quran, and that blocking the vision of the Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then leaving, going towards Ghar al-Thawr, the cave of Thawr. That is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had instructed Abdullah bin Uraiqat to bring the two camels after 3 days. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, as planned, reaching the cave of Thawr, reaching that mountain and that cave in which they were to spend some time, whilst Abdullah bin Uraiqat brings the camels of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to that cave for the journey the special journey of the hijrah, the migration to continue. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Mulaya Sahib, can you please share with us a little regarding the cave of Thawr, the experience and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala entering and spending time together, the two beloved companions together within Ghari Thawr. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Please do enlighten our hearts.
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi, this is the time which was treasured by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he would not give it up for anything.
Wow.
Allahu Akbar. It so happened, as Mohasab has mentioned, that they arrived at the cave of Thawr, as it was previously discussed with the tracer that was told to bring the camels to the cave after 3 days. So when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the cave of Thawr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu then requested the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hold on until he goes in, clean the inside of the cave, just for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's blocking all the holes that were there. Perhaps, you know, desert area, a lot of snakes can be found in the desert. And the most lethal snakes are found in the desert. Alhamdulillah, he tore his clothes and blocked all the holes except for one. Perhaps he ran out of cloth, you know, to cover the one hole that was remaining. And then he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in. And as perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tired, he wanted to rest for the time being. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has had the Mubarak head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam resting in his lap.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And while he is resting, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he blocked that one hole that wasn't covered with his heel.
Allah.
And just so that, you know, nothing can come out of it and harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, anything that that had to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had to go through Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah, like how we say for our loved ones, you want to get to my son, you want to get to my parents, you must get through me first. Allahu Akbar. Sahaba Ikram's Ishq Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was way greater than what we have for anyone. Subhanallah. And this is how it should be. The Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Uhud, he has proven it. He was telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they formed a circle to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the influx of arrows being showered at him. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please don't raise your head because my chest is here to protect
Allah,
you. Subhanallah, it must penetrate my chest. So, Ya Rasulullah, please lower your head. Subhanallah. And this was the devotion of the Sahaba Ikram. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is, Alhamdulillah, he is master of all those who have devotion for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he has blocked that hole, and there was a snake that was trapped in that hole. It started biting Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And such excruciating pain, Sayyidi, when he couldn't bear the pain, tears rolled down the cheeks of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and fell upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that disturbed the sleep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He awoke. And he showed his concern for his beloved friend, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He said, Abu Bakr, what happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, perhaps there's a snake there. It has bitten me. Subhanallah, Sayyidi. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his lu'ab bidahan, that was his blessed saliva, the pain vanished.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And after that, the kuffar, they didn't stop. They were in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They placed a bounty on whoever captures Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and brings him back. And they had placed the bounty of 100 red camels. Red camels are rare commodities, and they are very expensive breed of camels. And this was the bounty that they placed. Allahu Akbar. And then they somehow managed, you know, searching everywhere, they managed to get close to the cave in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And They were about to approach very close to the cave. Then they noticed something. That the cave, the entrance of the cave was blocked by spider web. And at the entrance, the pigeon laid eggs.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So alhamdulillah, after they looked at the entrance, they said, no, it doesn't make sense. You know, if there was somebody inside, then there wouldn't be any web on the entrance. And the pigeons wouldn't have laid their eggs there, right? Because they lay their eggs in a place that is secluded. And spider webs are found in the corners, maybe towards the ceiling, where nobody ever touches.
Right.
Have you seen somebody, you know, fiddling with the ceiling in the corners there? Nobody, right? So that is a place they choose to, you know, weave their web. And they still wanted to go. And then it was at that moment, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he showed his concern. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now we are about to get caught.
Allah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, look at his yaqeen, his firm conviction in the divine wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, and this is mentioned in the Holy Quran, he says, do not fear, indeed Allah is with us. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he says in his own statement that after this, I was at peace, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah,
subhanallah. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has his own unique way of explaining as to why the enemies couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, while right there, they are at the entrance, how they can't see him? And he says that life, you know, we all have life, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with life. But who has seen life? Anyone? What is life? What it looks like?
Right.
It's invisible, can't see. But we all believe in it, subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the life of iman.
Wow, subhanallah.
Sayyidi Al-Azhar says, Jaan hai jaan kya nazar aaye, Jaan hai jaan kya nazar aaye, Kyun adu girde ghar phirte hai, Kyun adu girde ghar phirte hai. He is the very life of this entire universe, subhanallah. How could they ever see him? Subhanallah.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Wow. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and being alone with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Thawr. Subhanallah, that he earned the title Yare Ghar, that he is the friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the cave, he was the second of the two of them. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. However, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had planned this day as well so perfectly, with complete trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana. No need to grieve. No need to fear. Allah Azza wa Jal is with us. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who at night would spend time or he would sleep at the entrance of the cave, at the mouth of the cave. During the day, he would go to Makkah al-Mukarramah and gather information regarding the plots of the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah against Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he would come and speak to Huzur Ekram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or bring that news. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Amir bin Fuhayra, who would bring some goats to that blessed cave as well to give milk to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu
ta'ala. And subhanallah, you know, as we have seen that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala is number one. First, you know, every aspect of deen, be it whether it's about life, be it whether it's about jihad, be it whether it's about giving, subhanallah, be it whether it's about maqam after the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Even in this case, the slave, Amir bin Fuhayra was the slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the sahabi that was sleeping at the mouth of the cave would go and listen to what's happening regarding the plans of the kuffar. That was the son of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. And so Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there ready to sacrifice himself in the service of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst the Kuffar of Makkah had placed a bounty of 100 camels upon the capture of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't want for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate. Many of the Kuffar had tried to take this chance in order to become wealthy, to gain 100 camels by going out to try to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is to spread the deen of Islam, and carried out that task so perfectly. Despite Kuffar trying to approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah azza wa jal protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were incidents where Kuffar had approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to try to capture, or even with the intention of killing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Rabbul Izzah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had saved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Sahib, can you please share with us any waqi'ah regarding anyone trying to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hijrah, during the hijrah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Well, they all were in his pursuit.
Right.
And the bounty you've mentioned, say the 100 camels, and you know, this is too cheap. It may have been the top-notch currency at the time,
right,
in terms of its monetary value. But here, Mufti Azam Mahin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, that what we should give for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, he says, ye ik jaan kya hai agar ho karodo, tere naam par sab ko wara karo main.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah.
And then he says, tere naam par sar ko qurban karke, tere sar se sadqa utara karo main. Subhanallah. This is how devoted they are to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whereas the kuffar of Makkah, they thought that 100 camels could be the price of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'azallah. Allahu Akbar. And even if the heavens and the entire earth, these planets come together, they can't even form an ounce of the value of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those driven by worldly greed, materialism, we can't call it anything else but greed. And looking at just the apparent means, lured by this offer, they all started their pursuit. And one such expert in this field of tracing and tracking, Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, he later on became Muslim, mashallah. And he went out in the pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, he spotted him. And when, as he was getting close to capturing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the legs of the horse of Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala, they went knee deep into the ground. And this is when he got to realize this is no ordinary personality, subhanallah. This is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he started begging for mercy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the mercy for all mankind to the entire universe, Allahu Akbar. And his heart went for Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he forgave him, subhanallah. The mercy personified, Allahu Akbar. That is the Mubarak personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after he left, anybody would ask him, did you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any trace of him? And he would say, no, I didn't see him going this way. Allahu Akbar. And this is how he got to realize the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his state of the heart was completely changed after this. And later on, this same Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was going in pursuit after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to capture him and hand him over to the enemies.
Oh.
The same Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he embraced Islam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the place of Ja'irana. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was camping and resting there, he came and alhamdulillah, this flame of love was burning, mashallah. And this was the time it came to fruition. and the kalima was recited. Subhanallah, it was the same Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him glad tidings that the bangles of Kisra, the king of Persia, they will be in your hands. Subhanallah. And true to the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Persia was conquered, and Kisra's palace was conquered, king of Persia, and his bangles, when they came as a treasury, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala remembered the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Sayyidina Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu that yes, this is your share, subhanallah, you can go with them. Remember Sayyidi, it is not allowed for males to wear bangles.
Right.
But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sharia. He can allow whatever he wants for anyone as he pleases, because he is, subhanallah, he is the authority in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's word is always the truth. Even if someone does not see it occurring yet, then know that it is to occur, because the word of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth and always the truth. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on. There were others that tried to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this blessed journey as well. There was a person by the name of Buraida Aslami. Buraida Aslami came in order to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But by seeing the splendid personality and beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his heart also melted and he accepted Islam. Subhanallah. And then he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will be your flag bearer. I will be your flag bearer that you should go to Madinatul Munawwara with a flag. At which he removed his blessed Amama Sharif, placed it upon his spear, and he led Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards Madinatul Munawwara. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped in a blessed land called Quba.
And Sayyidi, this was like a julus.
Subhanallah.
Mila Sharif julus. This is what we do. Subhanallah. We alhamdulillah wave flags. We have seen Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah, how he goes out of his way, subhanallah, bearing flags in his ecstasy, Allahu Akbar, in the grand arrival of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. So the flag bearer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moving towards the blessed land of Quba. This land of Quba is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed, just a little out of Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent approximately 14 to 24 days, as per the books of Sirah, in that blessed land of Quba. And in this blessed land, the first masjid was built by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent some time in Quba, having built the masjid with his own blessed hands as well as his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his blessed way towards Madinatul Munawwara. Zadaha Allahu sharafan wa ta'zeema. And what a beautiful sight, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering Madinatul Munawwara with his blessed companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What an ecstatic happiness the people of Madinatul Munawwara would feel upon seeing the coolness of their eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming towards them in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. Mawlana Sahib, can you please paint that beautiful picture for us, as per the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the arrival of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was a very royal arrival, subhanallah, subhanallah. And indeed the people, the Ansar, they waited eagerly for Rasulullah, because news reached them that the king of the Anbiya is coming, subhanallah, blessed lands of Madinah Munawwara. So they would come up at sunrise. And they would only leave, you know, when the sun was very unbearable, you know, the heat. So they would leave at that time. And then one day, a Jew spotted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And he, you know, the route that he was on. And he went back, you know, to his tower. And he announced loudly, "Oh, people of Medina, the person that you have been waiting for eagerly has now arrived, is coming, subhanallah, subhanallah." They all gathered in rows, and as Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is arriving, you know, this takbirat in cries, and subhanallah, they start this beautiful kalam, subhanallah.
طلع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا.
In Madinatul Munawwara, subhanallah, the king has arrived, the savior of humanity has arrived, the seal of the prophets has arrived, subhanallah, azza wa jal, subhanallah, subhanallah.
MashaAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arriving in Madinatul Munawwara. How much of joy in the hearts of the people of Madinatul Munawwara, everyone wishing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to come to my house, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to stay with me, may I have the opportunity of hosting the beloved of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering. Subhanallah. Who does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose? Who is going to be the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Mawlana Sahib, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into Madinatul Munawwara, and everyone wants to hold the reins of the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be their guest. So then, who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to stay with?
Allahu Akbar. That is such a fortunate personality, subhanallah, whose house Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses. Actually, it was chosen for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had predestined it.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. You know, the plan of Allah, it amazes us. Allahu Akbar. This house where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed and chose it as his residence, subhanallah, this house was the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I say that? Because when everyone wanted to hold the rein of the camel and wanted to host Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all enthusiastic to host Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them that leave my camel. Wow. She is guided by Allah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. She is guided by Allah. So where the camel stops, that will be the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. And Sayyidi, it also amazes me that, you know, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up, his homeland, Makkah Mukarramah, people were thirsty for his blood.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But a distant land altogether, another city, Madina Munawwara. How come these people were so much in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while not knowing him? Allahu Akbar. The answer lies in the history where there was a king of Yemen, and he undertook a journey, and this happened 1,000 years prior to the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in his caravan, he was, every city that he visited, he would include ulama and the scholars from that land into his caravan. So when these scholars, they arrive at this land, it was a barren land. There was no residence, there was no inhabitants in this city of Madina Munawwara. It wasn't inhabited. So they were the first inhabitants of the city of Madina Munawwara. So while they rested there, they examined the soil and the city of Madina Munawwara. And they found all those signs that were present there.
Allah,
subhanallah. They said to the king that we have decided, we have had a meeting, we have decided that we are going to stay here. They were so determined. What was that determination all about? Because when the king asked that, why are you saying this? Share it with me. They said that the final prophet of Allah, this will be his final resting place. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Therefore, we don't want to deprive ourselves of having devotion to that beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and making his ziyarat. Allahu Akbar. So after they explained to the king the reason why they wanted to stay behind, so he said, okay, I'm also interested in it now, mashallah. And he built 400 houses for 400 scholars that wanted to stay there. Subhanallah. And he then built a separate house for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would arrive. And mashallah, the king now, he waited for a year. He said, I waited now, he hasn't arrived. Perhaps this is not the time. Then he moved on with his journey, with his caravan. And these 400 scholars, they stayed there in their 400 houses, and they, alhamdulillah, they had their children, their offsprings. And before the king Tuba, the king of Yemen, he left a letter of devotion with them, subhanallah, with that scholar who rectified him, who reformed him, and due to that he brought iman on the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He left the letter with him of devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, if you don't get to see him, then pass it on to your generations, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, subhanallah, pass it on to your offspring. And when you see that final beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, final Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then present it from Tubba. Wow. And subhanAllah, this was the time. And this house was occupied by Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to stay, and where the camel of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, that camel that was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Let's see how it all comes together. Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, after the king built this house for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had handed over this letter, look at these people, the 400 personalities that were there, they had their children, mashallah. They didn't get to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their lifetime, because he only arrived 1,000 years later, subhanallah. But we can say that, you know, there are many cities in the world. Mm-hmm. They could have been founded for different purposes. But this is the only city we can truly call it, that this was the city built on the foundation of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people ask, why do we love Medina? Subhanallah. If one were to ask Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, he would say, Medina is liye atar jano dil se hai pyara. Medina is liye atar jano dil se hai pyara ke rehte hai mere aqa mere dilbar madine mein ke rehte hai mere aqa mere dilbar madine mein subhanallah. Sayyidi, so this was the city built on the foundation of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Medina resides in our hearts even now, alhamdulillah, because if you have iman, you got to have love for Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah. They are like synonymous. Allahu Akbar. It comes naturally, just as it came naturally to those offsprings of those 400 scholars to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to await the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he comes, welcome him wholeheartedly with open arms. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And Sayyidi, coming back to our discussion as to the house that was chosen and where the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was the very same house that the king Tubba had built 1,000 years prior to the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at his divine wisdom, that he guided the camel towards the exact same house. And this is the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah azza wa jal, how amazing that the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already built, awaiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival from 1,000 years before his blessed arrival in Madinatul Munawwarah. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was so blessed to be in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the entire stay of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his blessed home. This took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the blessed house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala for 7 months. And for 7 months, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala would serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would bring food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the plate would come back, when the utensil would come back, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala would search for where the finger marks of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were. And he would try to take from that area from that portion to eat for barakah, that that part had touched the hand of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal. As time went on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen a spot for the building of the Masjid of Madinatul Munawwara. The Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famously known as Masjidun Nabawi, the Masjid of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah azza wa jal, a piece of land was selected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The price of it paid by Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the Ashab, had built Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. Subhanallah, up to today, alhamdulillah, that area forms part of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. However, it was extended over time, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Muhajirun were the Ashab, the companions that migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. The Ansar were the companions of Madinatul Munawwara that lived in Madinatul Munawwara and welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These Muhajirun and Ansar from two separate cities, from two separate backgrounds, came together and lived together. How is it? Sometimes the question may occur to us that how is it that people from such different backgrounds had come together all in support of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How was a bond created between them? How is it that they were prepared to stand with each other, knowing that they have each other's backs and knowing that they are there to support each other? Mawlana Sahib, what had brought such a bond between these Muhajirun and Ansar?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Huzur, this was such a beautiful thing that, I mean, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wisdom, subhanallah. And when they were in Madinatul Munawwara, obviously the Muhajirun, they had nothing. They left everything, Allah. And they left it for the deen of Allah, for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they came to Madinah Munawwara, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the hand of a Muhajir and took the hand of an Ansar, subhanallah. And placed them together, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And said that you are now brothers. You are brothers, and to that extent, this brotherhood, imagine, a total outsider, Allah, no connection whatsoever. You have become brothers to the extent that the Ansar, not just brothers by, you know, an official announcement, but to the extent where some of them would divide their houses. This is mine, this is yours. Some of them would even take their wealth and divide it, Allah. To that extent, to share the brotherhood, that this is now my brother, I now need to cater for him. I now need to see for his needs, subhanallah, azawajal. So beautiful, subhanallah. And this was, obviously, like I mentioned, the love of Rasulullah, look what it leads to. Different other loves and different other connections, subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had united the Muhajirun and the Ansar in such a way that they became brothers, even closer than usually blood brothers would be to each other, because alhamdulillah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had united them. However, there was one Muhajir Sahabi. There was one Sahabi who migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah who was not paired with any Ansari. He was not paired with anyone else. And he was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have paired the other Muhajirun, but I have not been paired. Who should I be with? Who would you pair me with, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked towards Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and said, O Ali, anta akhi fi dunya wal akhirah. You are my brother in the world and in the hereafter, that you are paired with the Rasul of Allah azza wa jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What joy to the heart of Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to be paired with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And thus the Muhajirun and the Ansar would live together in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara.
Bhai bhai Muhajiro Ansar, bhai bhai Muhajiro Ansar, dil milana
میرے حضور کا ہے، دل ملانا میرے حضور کا ہے۔
دس از لائف لیسن فار اس، سبحان اللہ، that you know we claim we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love the blessed companion, we give our life for them, but think of it practically, that what's happening in our societies, in families today, Allahu Akbar, family ties are being broken, you know, sometimes it's due to petty reasons, for the worldly life, for power, for authority, for getting involved in dunya activities, we break ties with our own blood brothers, Allah, our own blood sisters, to the extent that people are ready to even take their lives, Allahu Akbar. Don't we know that Rasulullah said that a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he commands us in Quran, you know, for aslihu bayna akhawaykum, to have that relationship, you know, between your brothers, subhanallah. Keep that family bond, keep that family tie.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forming this beautiful bond between the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and the Muhajirun and the Ansar all living in Madinatul Munawwara peacefully under the guidance, under the command, under the rulership of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the king of Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the king of Madinatul Munawwara, and because of his presence there, our hearts are attracted to Madinatul Munawwara. Very beautifully, our ulama-i-kiram do mention that among the hikmat, among the wisdoms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being in Madinatul Munawwara is that the Muslims will be attracted to Madinatul Munawwara, and it would be known that there is no other reason for their attraction besides the beloved of Allah being there. Alhamdulillah, through that hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Madinatul Munawwara became great, and through that hijrah, Madinatul Munawwara is great. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We all yearn to be there. We all yearn to go there. And it is our dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to the blessed city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the blessed city of the migration of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Murshid Kareem. Ameen bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will continue with the blessed seerah, with the blessed life chronology of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next episode. And we are hopeful that as you were with us today, you will be with us then, learning of the seerah, learning of the life of your beloved, our beloved, and the universal beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, continue reciting salawat upon our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Step by step we trace the way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.